From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Republican indecision, the U.S. response to the attack on Israel, and anti-Semitic protests from the left. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. It's been a little over a week since Republicans stripped Kevin McCarthy of the speakership, and as of Thursday, they still hadn't held a vote on a new speaker. We do know now that it won't be Steve Scalise, who withdrew his name from consideration after our Washington Watch live show on Thursday. Joining Tony to talk about House leadership and more on Thursday was Representative Nathaniel Moran of Texas. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman, welcome back to the program. Good to see you.
Tony, thanks for having me today. It's a pleasure to be with you as always.
So I know that it was a closed door members only meeting, but give us an update on where things stand in the effort to select a speaker.
Yeah, today we had another 2.5 or 3 hours worth of conversation within the family conference, trying to work through this process to get to 217 for our speaker designee and our nominee, Steve Scalise. But quite frankly, we did not make much progress in that meeting, in my estimation. There's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of built-up emotion. There's a lot of division within our conference. And I'm sorry to see that, because as we've already seen in just the first few minutes of the program, there are some significant world events like we haven't seen in a long time, that need to be dealt with. Congress has to be acting. We're never going to find a perfect speaker. If we're looking for a perfect speaker, we're going to have to look outside of the walls of the halls of Congress for sure. But we have to get back to work for the American people and for these bigger ideals.
So let me ask you, Congressman Moran, is that view shared by your colleagues? I mean, I think the gravity of this moment and what is happening around the world is much different than what it was last week when the chair was vacated. So are these external pressures moving members to a place of decision?
Unfortunately, it's not. It's, in fact, in some cases, it's moving them further into the corner to be positioned and to say, yes, some of them say, look, I agree there's bigger issues we need to deal with, but their bigger issues are institutional issues, which, frankly, in my opinion, go beyond whoever sits in the speaker's chair, whether or not it's Kevin McCarthy or Steve Scalise or Jim Jordan or whoever the nominee is. That person cannot solve the illnesses that are here in Washington, D.C. Those illnesses are systemic, and they're as a result of all 435 of us in Congress on the House side, no question about it. So it feels like to me, and one of my colleagues used this analogy today, that we're the fire department, and there's a 5-alarm fire going on around us. In fact, there's several going on around us in this world, and we are arguing about the color of the fire truck. We're missing the greater point here that we need to be focused on.
One final question on this subject, Congressman Moran. What's the plan going forward? Are we going to stay in town until this is resolved, or are members going to go home for the weekend?
It looks like to me that we're going to stay here for the weekend, but that hasn't been finally told. I specifically asked that question, should we plan to stay? I think we need to stay until we get this resolved. There should be no break for Congress until we get this important matter resolved, but that's up to Patrick McHenry and Steve Scalise at this point. And I think they're going to be meeting with folks this afternoon to try to work out differences with those folks that are still holding out. Then we're probably going to come back together as a conference tonight, meet as a conference tomorrow again until we can resolve and hopefully go to the floor. But at some point, again, whether or not it's Steve Scalise or Jim Jordan, both of whom are great men, both of whom I said going into Congress, I would support whoever came out of conference as a nominee. We need to get behind a leader, get somebody in that chair so that the legislative branch can function, because we may have appropriations for Israel that we need to take care of. We certainly have appropriations bills that we need to get passed. We may have authorizations for use of military force that are necessary coming up. We've got so many other important things, border security being at the top of that, that we can't take care of if we are paralyzed in Congress.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You mentioned border security. I want to switch topics here. You serve on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and unfortunately, our southern border has become an entryway for foreign individuals, some of whom want to do harm to this country. We have now a former Hamas leader and Hamas itself calling for a national day or a day of jihad, global day of jihad. What do we know about this, and what do we know in terms of the threat to the U.S.?
Well, what we do know is more than a million individuals crossed over our border that we don't know who they are or where they went. They're gotaways during the Biden administration. The Biden administration can provide us no assurances that we can assess the security risk or protect against the security risk of those individuals. I was down in Eagle Pass, Texas, just a couple weeks ago, looking again at the situation firsthand. And just in the Del Rio sector along the border, what we discovered was in this last 12 months, there were individuals from 98 different countries that crossed over that border. 27 of those countries have ties to terrorism. Now, that should be concerning to every American, because when they filter in, as we saw there in the on the border town of Eagle Pass, they get processed within 2 or 3 days. Then they're to an NGO, and then they're to wherever their, quote, final destination is, which could be anywhere in the United States. We will never know where those individuals go or what they're doing when they get there, because that border is so porous. And as a result of that, our nation is so much at risk now because we won't secure that southern border.
I know that yesterday's briefing was a classified briefing, so I'm trying to be careful in how I ask this question, but because I know you're limited on what you can say. But given what you know, and we have this call for global jihad, we've already seen protests in cities across the United States. We've seen violence on college campuses. Are you concerned that tomorrow we could see some type of activity, violent activity, attacks here in the United States?
Well, I would not say that folks need to be living in fear. They don't. I would say they need to be as vigilant as they should be in every other day. We live in perilous times, Tony. We live in times where groups like Hamas have said that they want to see the total obliteration. That's what their charter says, the obliteration of the Jewish nation. And they have declared a jihad against effectively the entire Western world. But that hatred from groups like Hamas and Hezbollah and others around the world is nothing new. We've seen this evil before. We'll see it again. Folks need to be vigilant. They need to report something, say something if they see something, but they don't need to live in fear. We know that at the ultimate conclusion of this, we are going to overcome. As Christians, we know that that's the case, that there's going to be victory in this world. But it doesn't mean we need to part from our wisdom and prudence in our actions. Just be careful in everybody's daily lives and observe and report. But certainly don't create a situation where hate breeds hate and the response is hate. We don't need to see that either.
Yep, I agree with that as well. Congressman Moran, thanks so much for taking time to join us. Always good to see you.
Thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Just to underscore that point, I do think we need to be vigilant, and we need to call upon our government to protect us. That's a fundamental duty of our government. Of course, our government has been absent without leave in the border, leaving it wide open. So they're making this putting this nation at risk. But as he said, we don't need to live in fear. Vigilant, but not fear. All right, we're going to talk more about Iran and holding them accountable for all this next. Don't go away.
Reading Scripture consistently and in a meaningful way can sometimes prove to be difficult. Many don't know where to begin or struggle to understand how to apply the passages they read to daily life. Scripture is our daily spiritual bread. And just as we eat every day for the nourishment of our body, we ought to spend time with God in His Word for the nourishment of our mind and soul. Reading the Bible daily helps us to better understand and grow closer to the Father. It also prepares and equips us to do good work for God's kingdom. That's why Family Research Council offers the Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. It's a 2-year plan that will help you read Scripture daily so you can better know God's truth, walk through our culture from a biblical worldview, and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sign up to get the daily passages and questions today by visiting frc.org/Bible.
Oh.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us. All right, earlier today, U.S. Treasury officials reportedly announced that they were refreezing the $6 billion cash transfer to Iran previously arranged as part of a Biden administration prisoner swap deal. Now, earlier this week, 20 Republican senators demanded President Biden end this cash transfer, a demand that later picked up some support from Senate Democrats. So what does this mean, that the funds are refrozen? I mean, for how long? Joining me now to discuss this and more is Senator Pete Ricketts of Nebraska. He serves on three committees, including the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Ricketts, welcome back to Washington Watch.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me on.
So Senator, we're told now that these funds have been refrozen. What does that mean? What do we know?
Well, we don't know a lot, frankly. We know that the Biden administration was trying to return the $6 billion to Iran, that it was in South Korea, then it moved to Qatar, and none of the funds have been accessed so far by Iran. What the process up until this point would have been is that they would have had to make purchases, supposed to be only humanitarian goods, and that then they would submit basically a receipt to us and we would release the funds. What I have and my Senate colleagues have asked for is that the president refreeze those and not supply them to Iran. They are the largest state sponsor of terrorism. They sponsor Hamas. The Wall Street Journal said that they were complicit in planning this horrible, brutal attack. And frankly, money can be used in a variety of different ways. Ayatollah Khamenei said that he's going to use it any way he wants. So even if they do spend money, say, on food and get this money back from Qatar, they can spend it on anything they want. They can spend it on guns. You know, if you free up money that you're going to spend on food and you can now spend it on terrorism, that could happen. So it was just a bad idea to begin with. It was cut in secret with the Biden administration. We were not made aware of it on the Foreign Relations Committee. And I'm glad that they're slowing things down here, but we got to make sure that there's a permanent freeze on this. And in fact, that we have some legislation we're working on in the Senate to be able to make that happen.
I think that last point is very important, that it be permanent, because as you pointed out, they must think the American people are pretty dumb to say that, well, they can only use it for food and humanitarian purposes. But I mean, let's say you've got a household budget of, $200, and you were going to buy $50 worth of meat. But instead, somebody else gives you $50 and you go ahead and use that $50 to buy ammo. I mean, you can do whatever you want with the money. You can move the money around. But if they know this money is coming, and we've heard repeatedly from the administration that, well, they haven't accessed it yet. We know that. We're tracking it. But if they know that $6 billion is sitting in the bank, they can move on what they have today, move with what they have today, knowing that money's coming tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely right. That's why it makes no sense to, first of all, it made no sense to do this deal in the first place. And certainly now that Iran was cutting this deal with the Biden administration, perhaps while they were planning this attack on Israel, just shows the contempt that they have for the Biden administration and why, again, we should stop these funds from getting to Iran. They're just going to use it to, again, sponsor terrorism, and we can't allow that to happen.
Now, you serve on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which is asking questions of the State Department regarding the Biden administration's former special envoy to Iran and whether or not he was compromised, and actually that we had a spy ring for Iran operating within the State Department. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so what has happened is the Iranians created a fake think tank and then had they recruited Americans to basically staff it and then push the Iranian point of view on our State Department. In fact, some of these people actually were very close advisors of the State Department. And again, it just demonstrates the incompetence of the Biden administration that they could allow this to happen in the first place. You would think that this would raise red flags with people about how this whole process was going on. But it's just a string of failures that the Biden administration has had on a number of different fronts. And why they, in my opinion, they really don't have any credibility. And frankly, it's actions like this, which is why we see dictators like Putin being emboldened. I think certainly this has also probably contributed to why Hamas picked this time to attack Israel. They view us as being weak. Anytime the United States shows weakness, we just encourage these bad actors, you know, these dictators, these terrorist groups to start attacking us. The world is safer when we act strongly. You know, we need to, for example, support Israel and let them know we stand with Israel. That's the best way to keep the peace through strength.
I'm very curious about this because some of these individuals that were in this ring of supporters of Iran that were within the State Department, the Biden administration, even goes back to the Obama administration, they had security clearances. And I've been through that process when I was on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. It's pretty difficult. It's a lengthy process to get a security clearance. Unless someone's cutting the corners, I'm not sure how some of these individuals were able to obtain security clearances. Is that something that your committee has looked at?
We haven't looked at that issue in particular because this has all come up fairly recently. Well, that's absolutely the kind of investigation we've got to have and some of the answers we've got to have from the State Department with regard to how could this possibly have happened. If you're doing clearances, you'd think that this would be clear about we're not going to allow people who have connections to Iran who are going to be compromised to get that security clearance. In fact, I think one of the individuals actually did get denied a security clearance on this. But, you know, it just goes back to what is going on in the State Department.
And, of course, this goes back, it's surrounding the nuclear deal. So this should, any further or any future conversations about the Iran nuclear deal, I mean, it should be dead on arrival, given the fact of what we're seeing unfold right now in Israel. Plus, when we look at the fact that we had an Iranian spy ring within the State Department.
Yeah, absolutely. The Iranian nuclear deal was a bad deal. It never should have been done in the first place. As you know, this was started under the Obama administration. We should really end this deal permanently and look at sanctions on how we can prevent Iran from having a nuclear weapon and continue to put pressure on them. You know, for example, they're in violation of this right now. And the State Department, to my knowledge, hasn't really done anything about that. So that's one of the things my Senate colleagues and I are asking questions about is if with Iran in apparent violation of the agreement, what is the State Department doing? And you know, this is where we're just not getting the answers we're looking for.
And good point, because apparently these individuals who were friendly with Iran gave them a pass on a number of these things, free unfreezing other funds that they sent to Iran. So I hope you guys are able to dig into this and reveal what really took place.
Yep, that's one of the things that Marco Rubio is leading us on this. But we've got a number of senators who are very interested in getting answers out of the State Department.
All right. Senator Ricketts, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. Always great to see you.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me on.
You can find out more about Pete Ricketts, as well as the ongoing conflict in Israel, when you visit TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Christians must be aware of the issues that threaten the culture and the church. To this end, Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book titled Male and Female He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage. This book was written to help Christians understand what Scripture teaches and how to address them biblically. Included in the study are complimentary videos that expound upon the themes of each chapter. Order your copy of this book at hecreatedthem.org.
Are you tired of worn-out talking points, misleading media bias, and hopeless commentary? You need a news source you can trust. The Washington Stand, Family Research Council's online news platform, provides readers with free, reliable news and commentaries, all from a biblical perspective. Based in Washington, D.C., our reporters provide the facts on the biggest stories of the day, ranging from updates on critical Supreme Court cases to coverage on the latest public education stories to the newest developments in domestic and international religious liberty issues. The Washington Stand covers all of this and more. If you want to stay up to date and informed on what's going on in the U.S. and around the world that impacts faith, family, and freedom, then check out the Washington Stand. Just go to WashingtonStand.com. Stay in the know, be encouraged, and stand firm in truth by visiting WashingtonStand.com today.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Earlier this week, in major cities and on college campuses across America, anti-Israel protests broke out. Here's Tony Perkins as he introduces our next guest.
We've been seeing a rise of anti-Semitism globally. We've been seeing it on college campuses in the United States for quite some time. Joining me now is Rabbi Menken. He is the managing director of the Coalition for Jewish Values. Rabbi, welcome to the program.
So good to see you again after several years.
It is good to see you as well. You know, one of the things I recall very vividly in my time on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, especially when I was chairing it, was this rise of anti-Semitism in the special repertoire from the United Nations, making a comment that this is the canary in the coal mine, and everyone should be watching what is happening as we see this rise of anti-Semitism.
Well, it's been going on for a long time, and you've watched the campus get taken over. I remember as a college student, and I'm sure many of your viewers and listeners do as well, that there used to be protests for a whole series of serious human rights causes around the world. I'm talking about Darfur, Rwanda, Bosnia, et cetera, et cetera. For the last 15 years, as the state of civil and human rights has declined and the state of religious freedom around the world has declined, everything on campus has been Palestine, Palestine, and Palestine. And now it's out in the open that it is no longer, there's no pretense about this. It was obvious. There's no political dispute, no oppression, no occupation that makes a person go out and rape a woman. There's no political position that makes him parade the body of that dead woman through the streets. There's certainly nothing political about carving off the head of a baby. And yet Hamas did all of those things. This wasn't a war. This was a massacre. And when you have groups in the United States, like Students for Justice in Palestine, calling that a victory for the resistance, they've taken their masks off. The problem is that the word Hitler is so overused that it's like a joke that the longer a conversation goes on the internet, the likelihood of mentioning Hitler is 100%. So it sounds like an exaggeration, but it's not. This is the Nazis. This is the Nazi Sturmabteilung, the brown shirts, in American universities. And in fact, there was an assault on an Israeli Jewish student today at Columbia during the day of resistance, because he was putting up posters of the kidnap victims of Hamas. Imagine that. They were so pro-barbarism and so against basic human decency and human values that they wanted to tear down posters and were willing to break the finger of the guy putting them up because they don't want American attention to pay attention to what's right. really going on.
Rabbi, I've been in Yad Vashem as one of the most heart-wrenching experiences that I've had to walk through that and think back on why the world was silent when that was occurring. And I mean, I've read through, I'm a student of history, and so what I'm about to say, I am not in any form or fashion minimizing the Holocaust, not at all. These individuals and what they did, what we've heard that they did, as you just described, what they did to babies, what they did to innocent women, what they did to old people. This is beyond anything that a human being could do. This is demonic, and this is evil like we've never seen before. And to in any form or fashion to coddle that here in the United States by, you know, some group should be totally, totally denounced by everyone.
I think that's absolutely true. The Nazis tried to hide what they were doing. There are definitely certain elements here where Hamas, look, they believe that this is their religious ideology. Imagine that. That's their religion, to believe that carving off a baby's head is the right thing to do. It's beyond anything imaginable. The Nazis regarded eliminating the Jews as something distasteful that they had to do. Hamas looks at it as something that they love to do. It's explicitly genocidal at the outset.
Yes.
And I think that there are two lessons to take away. One is that what starts with the Jews never ends with the Jews. Look at the places where the Christians are receiving the worst persecution around the world, and you find a country that is already Judenrein. It has no Jews, often because they've already been ethnically cleansed out, like Iraq. And that is why, you know, they start with the Jews and then they go with everybody else. So obviously this has to stop here. But number two,
I just want to say that is absolutely true. That is absolutely true.
And the Nazism now is so clear. There's an absence of decency. You've seen this takeover on campus of by students who really are just victims of indoctrination. My goodness, open the Bible. How many indigenous names are there for the Holy Land? One of them is not Palestine. That's a Greco-Roman colonialist name for the Jewish homeland designed to dissociate the Jews from Judea. Well, guess what? It's never meant anything different. It's not different today. This has been a false narrative from the get-go. But the most important thing for people to realize is you must continue pressuring your legislators to keep up the pressure on Israel to finish the job. This cannot, there can be no ceasefire. Yes. There can be no backing down. There can be no restraint. That is evil. That is barbaric. I have a piece in the Federalist this morning about the evil of restraint. It's a recipe for more civilians to die. Hamas must be eliminated to the point where the white flag is flying from the rubble of what remains of their office. And if I could, a second thing. Consider that the entire Students for Justice in Palestine is now revealed as a barbaric, hateful terror support organization in the United States, which it always was beginning to end. Your alma mater, dear viewer, dear listener, your alma mater may well have a chapter of Students for Justice in Palestine, which means that your alumni dues, whatever you're giving to the university, your donation is going to fund this anti-Semitic terror support until Students for Justice in Palestine, which is on over 100 American campuses, is completely pushed off. There is freedom of speech. There is not freedom of hate. It is now revealed that SJP is only about hate and barbarism, and you must participate in pushing it out.
Right. That must be countered. It absolutely must be countered with voices that will speak truth and not be intimidated. Rabbi, we're out of time. Always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us, and know that we stand with the Jewish people and the Jewish nation of Israel.
You know how much we appreciate you and FRC. Thank you so much.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.